welcome you in to another episode of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. I am Dan Canobio, joined as always by the former 140-pound champion, Mr. Chris Algieri. Together, we form the best single podcast of two men doing it from New York and Florida.
That's actually true. I think we have a lot more accolades than that, but yeah, that is very accurate.
That is accurate, and we do have a lot more accolades, and I'm going to ask you once again, everybody, go out and give us a 5-star rating. I don't ask often, but when I do, people do it. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Go ahead and subscribe to Inside Boxing Live. We just had one of our most successful episodes, 30,000 views on our Tim Zoo Sebastian Fundora post-fight show. Love nice. That. Didn't touch our most viewed video on YouTube, which was after Naoya Inoue beat Stephen Fulton, which had 77,000.
Wow.
Which is crazy because that was just like a perfect storm. But I think the Aussies were upset. Blood sells. And then the people just love to see our faces talking boxing every single week. So go ahead, show us some love. We've been feeling the love lately with this new move to PPV.com. They are awesome. Go and follow PPV.com on all socials. It's the best way to watch a pay-per-view. It's the best way to order a pay-per-view. You can hang out with us in the live chat, Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire. No subscriptions. We'll never ask you for a subscription. Just sign up, clear stream, enjoy the fights, interact with the community. Our next show, our next pay-per-view is Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia on April 20th. We'll be in the chat there. Stream it to your phone. Stream it to your TV. Stream it to your tablet. Stream it everywhere. PPV.com. Thank you so much for being our presenting sponsor. All right, Chris, let's get into it. I want to spend this show talking about what I believe is the best division in boxing. It's the 140-pound division. A lot of the sport is running through this division. A lot of the storylines currently today or running through 140 pounds. It's because they have some of the biggest names. It's also because we just added a new champion to the weight class in Pitbull Cruz, which makes some intriguing matchups. Let's go through the champions, Chris. Devin Haney, WBC champion. Teofimo Lopez, WBO champion. Subriel Matias, IBF champion. And as I just mentioned, our guy, Isak Cruz, is the new WBA champion supplanting Rolly Romero. Man, is that a fearsome foursome at 140 pounds. We're going to break it all down. Damn, that's a spicy, spicy weight class right now.
It's a spicy meatball, as they say. I mean, 135 was the hottest division, the best division, the deepest division. But 140's always been that kind of leapfrog division where the 35-pounders bleed into 140 eventually and then eventually go back up to 147 because that's always been, you know, historically a money division. But now 140 is a pretty hot money type division. So it's interesting because we have some super talents there. We got guys who are going to be around for a long time because they're young. It's a very young, hot division, which is really cool. And Cruz, a guy that I was having trouble visualizing him as a 140-pound world champion. It was his first fight at 140. I thought he was kind of small for 35. And now after watching him at 140, after watching him completely dismantle and abuse Rolly Romero, I'm like, you know what? Actually, it's a good addition. We have another fun fighter in the mix, another guy that I can see tangling with every one of the other guys in a meaningful way as well. So I tip my hat to Team Cruz. They did what they needed to do. They did what I expected them to do. I did actually predict that he was going to beat Rolly. So yeah, man, welcome to the division, a hot division. Let's go make some money, man.
Welcome to Chris Algieri's former division. Chris Algieri, yeah. Former 140-pound champ. I know
never
you didn't
lost
like
that
Rolly.
Title. Never lost that WBO title. Undefeated at 140.
Just like Dickie Echo. Never knocked me down, Ray. Never knocked me down. You never lost at 140. Nope. I know Rolly, you know, he was the guy that didn't belong in that list, to be honest. He fit it from a different standpoint of being a man.
Possibly the most undeserving world champion in recent memory, honestly. I mean definitely in the sport.
Yeah, definitely in this current sport. But he's out. He released a really long message and thanked everyone and all that. But I don't think we'll see him in this conversation for a really long time, if ever. So Cruz joins the list, and it makes it rounds out a really nice set of champions. Will they ever fight? I know that's what fans want to question, and that's what fans were questioning when I put up this graphic on our social media. The skeptical fans, I don't blame them. Boxing fans have been mistreated for years and years. Will these guys all fight? Who's the best? Who's the hardest to beat? And that's what we'll do right now. So let's go ahead and rank them. Go ahead and rank them 1 to 4. Obviously, you got some big names like Haney and Teofimo, and Matias and Cruz are the new ones.
Yeah, I mean, prior to the pro grade win from Haney, I had Teofimo as the top guy. I think Haney has slid in as number one on my ranking. I got Haney number one. I got Teofimo number two. I got Subriel Matias at number three. And now I got the newcomer, Isak Cruz, at number four. Very, very hot division. Great champions. A lot of good fights that can be made between these guys. But it's really tight, man. 1 and 2 for me is really, really tight. I think everyone on this show knows, all of our listeners know, that I'm very, very high on Teofimo Lopez. I think that his boxing IQ, his physical gifts and talents are through the roof. But he's inconsistent, and that's something that Haney masters. He is incredibly consistent, incredibly disciplined, and we talk about that on the show a lot too. And then running off their past performances, I got to have Haney ahead. You know, Haney with the dominant win over Pro Grey, who used to be the boogeyman, the Rougarou of the division, and then Teofimo struggling to cut off the ring against a very, very good, a very, very talented Jermaine Ortiz. But based on their past performances, I got Haney edging Tio at number one.
You got to have Haney one. This is a what have you done for me lately type of sport.
Always.
If this was 6 months ago, I'd probably have Teofimo number one coming off of that Taylor win, and he had not yet seen the type of clunker performance that he would go on to have against Jermaine Ortiz. We'll have more stuff on Teofimo later on in this episode because he has a new opponent, an interesting opponent. But yeah, I would agree. Haney number one right now off of that Pro Grey win, off of that Lomachenko win. If you don't really agree that Haney beat Lomachenko, you got to admit that he gave him one hell of a fight, and he stood and he traded and he did a lot of things to quiet some of his naysayers. Haney's definitely the guy right now. Teofimo at the top, I agree with that. 3-4 is interesting to me. That's where it gets a little dicey. Like, I have been fending off a lot of these Matias supporters out there and a lot of these Matias bandwagoners. I think he's great. I think Matias is unbelievable, and he has outstanding punching power, and he has marketed himself as the boogeyman, and now he has Eddie Hearn behind him as his mouthpiece to keep this narrative going that no one wants to fight him and he's indestructible. But he's not indestructible. He's lost before. He gets hit. I don't think his style is sustainable, but I still think he should be 3, and then Cruz at 4, who's just a wrecking ball, a short, compact wrecking ball that would make a lot of fun fights in the division. Would you go ahead and say that at 140 pounds that Devin Haney is the hardest to beat?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Haney would be the most difficult guy to beat based on his style. And I've said this before about Haney in the past. Listen, as a fighter, looking at him and what he brings to the table in terms of his physicality, he's very tall. He's very long for the weight class. He's big for the weight class, too. He cuts a lot of weight. He's a big guy. I've been around Devin for years. He's not a small 40-pounder. Coming from one of the biggest 40-pounders who's done it in recent years, Haney is very tall, very, very long. And he's disciplined. We say that all the time. Not only disciplined outside of the ring in terms of getting prepared, so he's obviously in great shape, but he's very disciplined from rounds 1 through 12. That's a very difficult thing to do. A championship fight, 12 rounds, is a very long time. For him to stay locked in the way that he does makes him extremely difficult to beat. I talked about Teofimo and how the fact that he can be inconsistent. Well, Devin Haney is very consistent. And when he chooses to get his game plan, he sticks to it. He goes through it. They make adjustments in the corner here and there. But honestly, they do everything in the gym. They're ready to execute. The preparation is there. The mindset is there. The kid is locked in. He's like a cyborg. He goes out there and he gets the mission done. Yeah. That kind of guy is going to be very hard to beat. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give Haney his props, man. I mean, the guy's got one hell of a jab and great defense. And to me, those are the most two sustainable attributes you could have as a fighter for longevity.
And you're mixing the control. His distance control is out of this world.
Right, and you mix in the fact that he's shown that he will stand and trade more. He's shown that he'll commit to the body. He'll stand in the pocket. He'll go down to the body, leave himself open a little bit, get tagged a few times and circle out with something that Shakur Stevenson hasn't yet been able to master, and something that Haney, give the man his credit, give the man his flowers, is maturing in front of our eyes as a complete fighter. We'll see on April 20th if he can add that power and stop Ryan Garcia, who coincidentally is also in this weight class, and he would fall into the other guys because it's a long, long list. But I want to keep going with these champions, and one of the deepest weight classes. What do you think is the best matchup? Because you have a guy in Haney who is a kind of a counterpuncher. Same thing with Teofimo. I think the more we learn about Teofimo is that we're learning that in order for him to be in exciting fights, he has to be in there with a guy that's going to come forward, a guy that's going to show off Teofimo's athleticism. I think Matias and Cruz are those guys. Like they're the come forward types that can offset Haney and Teofimo. What's the best matchup of these four champions at 140?
This might come as a surprise to a lot of people, or not. Maybe not. I mean, I got Matias Cruz as the most exciting matchup. I think that's a can't miss. You got two guys. First of all, two guys who are willing to fight anybody. I don't think either one of them is going to be like, no. We're going to wait for something better. No, Matias is ready to fight everybody. He's ready. He's also, I think he's the oldest of the bunch. So he's really trying to, and he hasn't made the money yet. So he's definitely willing to fight whoever. And I think with their team, they would look at Cruz and be like, oh, I can unify now. This is a guy that I can beat. He's coming up. I'm definitely bigger than him. Matias is big for the weight class as well. Cuts a lot of weight. But Cruz, man, stylistically, difficult guy to deal with. Stays really low. Reminds me of you know, they're calling him the Mexican Mike Tyson. But I spoke to Teddy Atlas the other day, and he brought an even better guy, Joe Frazier. He's a Mexican Joe Frazier. The way that he gets underneath punches, stays really low, keeps his chin tucked, rips those hooks on both hands. Guy never throws a jab. Go find Joe Frazier throwing a jab. Even his jab was a power punch. He threw it like, boom, but he's looking for that left hook. So I think that's actually a better analogy there for fighters in terms of what he brings up, brings to the table. So I think that fight is fireworks from the opening bell for as long as it lasts. That's the one. I think a lot of people, what a Haney Teofimo. Yeah. But also to your point, Dan, Teofimo needs guys like Matias and Cruz. Yep. Those guys make him look brilliant. Yeah. That style that Teofimo, when he's counterpunching and using that athleticism, that ability to pull the trigger, take those quick steps, change of directions, and let those hands go when a guy's coming at him, I don't think those guys actually match up well with Teofimo. I think Haney matches up really well with Teofimo because of that. But for me, yeah, the most exciting, best matchup in this weight division right now, Subrio Matias and Cruz, man.
Dude, Mexico versus Puerto Rico, add that into it. That's a bona fide can't miss type of fight. Unfortunately, for us fans, I don't know if we get it because of the political divide in boxing. Subrio Matias just signed Eddie Hearn in Matchroom. It's horrible, bro. It's just like it's always hanging over us as fight fans. Matias signs with Matchroom. Great for him. Get that money. You know, get that marketability up. But that means like, okay, Eddie Hearn and PBC ain't working together. So I don't think we see that as bad as I want to see it. And one more thing, going back to how boxing is such a what have you done for me lately sport. 6 months ago, we're talking about Pitbull Cruz giving a absolute dud against Giovanni Cabrera.
We were there, Dan. We were there.
We were like, oh my God, this is a bad fight. Oh my God, this guy's stock is plummeting. Now he's Joe Frazier. I love this sport. Come on, man. It's a sport that can knock you down, but also it can lift you up to unbelievable heights. And Pitbull Cruz's stock couldn't be any higher. He's over 1 million followers on Instagram. He is a legit star. He's 25 years old. People forget it. He's 25 years old. You know, he doesn't speak English, so you kind of lose out on some of his interviews. But when he does these interviews and they translate him, you know, he's got a lot of experience. This is a guy who went 12 with Gervonta. He's now fought Rolly. He has some other good wins in there, too. And the sky's the limit for him. And I think a fight with Matias would be awesome. Obviously, the most blockbuster of the fights that make the most sense, is Teofimo and Haney. You know, they have a history. They're part of that, quote unquote, Four Kings that I think is obviously retired, that moniker. That right there would be.
Well, I think we're using Four Horsemen for them, right? Is that the term?
I don't know. I think everyone's just kind of given up any hope that they're all going to fight, and like they're no longer kids anymore. They're, you know, Teofimo's 26, Haney's 25. Like they're not kids anymore. Most of them haven't fought each other.
Well, they're kids to us, old man Dan. No.
These guys are like Pro Gray is like around our age, and he put up a dud there too. So he wasn't holding it down for the old people there. But Tio and Haney would be the blockbuster type of fight, the one that you market, the one that it becomes a pay-per-view, the one that you can really get behind. But I agree, it's not the best fight because of their styles. It can be a complete dud. It could be kind of a chess match, which doesn't really help the wider scope of the sport, doesn't really go to the casual fan out there. People know Teofimo, people know Haney, But that fight could be like, oh, you know, some buyer's remorse for some non boxing hardcores. I also think Cruz versus any of those four guys, other three, would be awesome fights because of his style too, of coming forward. Versus Haney would be awesome. Versus Teofimo would be awesome. Just to go back to like the political and divide there. You know, I was talking to Haney at the Top Rank gym when he had his media workout last week, and he's welcoming all these fights. Like he said, you know what? I kind of wanted to move up to 147, but now I don't. Now I want to become undisputed at 140. And, you know, Matias, I'll fight him. Like, he's with Eddie Hearn. You know, I have a great relationship with Eddie Hearn. He's the boogeyman, but he really isn't the boogeyman. So Haney's talking that talk. Like, Haney has a chance to become undisputed at 135 and 140. And if you want to go political stuff, like, Matias Haney is a makeable fight now with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn in the mix. Now, I want to get your thoughts on Matias because you kind of opened my eyes to this. You opened my eyes to Matias being beatable. You opened my eyes to Matias not exactly being that boogeyman. What is it about him that gave you that impression early on? Because I've been going with this notion on Twitter, and people are like, what are you, crazy, man? This guy's the best of them all. He's number one, Matias.
Were those people Puerto Rican? Because they are very devout.
I don't know. Probably.
They're very devout. Subir Matias, listen, he's a monster. He is a come-forward, two-fisted puncher. He hits hard with both hands. He's got a great engine. He throws combinations. He's a fun guy to watch. Comes forward, puts a ton of pressure on you. Listen, if you have any doubt in your mind, he's going to break you. He's that kind of guy, which is why he's such a great matchup for all these guys, because he's going to test everybody. But, guys, this is boxing, and I'm talking X's and O's. Homeboy gets hit too much. Mm-hmm. He gets hit, and he gets hurt. He's not a guy who walks through everything and is like, oh, I'm a Terminator, I can't get hurt, like how Spence was back in the day. Yeah, Spence got hit, but listen, he didn't buckle on anything. Matias buckles. Matias goes down. Matias gets hurt. Yes, he roars back. But listen, there's an end to that, guys. This thing, it's got a shelf life. Can't be getting hit all the time. You cannot be getting hit at the top level. That's the thing. What are his biggest, best wins? We have not seen him in with the upper crust elite. The upper crust elite, you only get one mistake, and the fight's over. You got a guy like Teofimo Lopez, you can't make mistakes with that guy. Hits too hard, pulls that trigger too fast, puts you away. So, yeah, I know these guys are really, really pushing hard for Matias. Listen, I am too. I want him to fight all these guys. I really like him. But I cannot put him ahead of Teofimo Lopez. I think Teofimo's counterpunching ability puts him away pretty early. I think Haney is able to outbox him, move around the ring all night long, and make him miss. You know, the footwork, the defense, the length. Guys, the best fighters in the world, the pound-for-pound guys, look at all of the pound-for-pound lists over the last two decades. What is the number one thing that combines all of them? What is that gel that brings all of them? It's defense. Yeah. It's all guys who don't get hit. The guy gets hit too much. And at this weight class, you got guys that are this young, this strong, this powerful, this good, this elite, can't get hit like that.
Beautifully said. Thank you, because I needed that because I 100% agree. He is very exciting, and I love the fact that he's willing to stand and trade and give us fans that excitement that we want, that we need as fight fans, but it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And not only that, is I think he gets outboxed by Haney and Teofimo, like you said. But it's damn fun. Like I enjoy his rise. I enjoy him as a player at 140. I'm looking forward to his fight that he's got coming up with Liam Paro, June 15th in Puerto Rico.
That's actually a good matchup. Underrated matchup.
Yeah, man. Haney's fighting Ryan April 20th. Teofimo's fighting Steve Claggett. We're going to get into that in just a second. Matias is in action June 15th. So they're all pretty much active within the next couple of months. Cruz is obviously just coming off of a win. And I think Cruz will look for Gervonta Davis, who also we could add to this, not officially. You know, guys like Gervonta Davis potentially fighting at 140. Shakur Stevenson can move up to 140. There's a bunch of guys at 135 that can join the mix because, as we know, you follow the money when it comes to boxing in all sorts of ways. You follow the money. If the money's in one weight class, you're going to find a lot of fighters gravitating to that. That's pretty much why there's no one at 160 right now, because there's no money at 160. There's no one at 147 because Crawford and Spence are about to leave. Some of the other players in this loaded division, I don't want to say other guys because that comes off as derogatory, but it's a mix. It's mostly veterans. It's mostly guys, former champions. It's mostly guys that can give these young guns and maybe give these champs a run for the money. It's the JC Ramirez's of the world, Jack Catterall, You got Barbosa in there, who's fighting on April 20th. You got Richardson Hitchens, who's young and in action this weekend. You got Regis Progre, of course, former champion, but coming off of an absolute dud. And then Ryan Garcia, who you have as 10th here. So how would you sum up, like, the rest of the division? It's a pretty deep division. Those are all household names for boxing fans.
Yeah, I think it's old men and young guys. You know, guys who've been there, guys who haven't been there. Guys who haven't been there, guys who want to be there. JC Ramirez is a guy who gets left off everybody's list, and I keep trying to bring him up. Olympian.
Did you see who he's fighting?
I did not. Who is he fighting?
He's not fighting. Delorme is fighting Virgil Ortiz. He's fighting. Just keep going. I got to look it up. Keep talking about JC Ramirez.
Learn me, Dan. JC Ramirez, he was a guy who was at the top of this division looking, vying for those top fights. And you know, his only loss is to Josh Taylor, and it was an awesome fight. It was a close fight. He got dropped twice, and it was still kept it close. He's a workman. He's a machine. He comes forward. He's very, very technical. He's physically strong. He's huge for the weight class. He dismantled Richard Comey, who's always a dangerous guy, in not too distant memory. So I think he's a guy that is still dangerous, but I think he's moved into that role of being the former champ who's going to give a lot of these up-and-comers a stiff test, maybe beat some of them, some of them, knock some of them off. I don't necessarily see him being a world champion again at this weight class because it's just too deep. A different weight class, sure. Jack Catterall, awesome boxer, man. Like he's very, very underrated. He looked great against Josh Taylor. Didn't look so great against Linares, but he made it look easy, basically. And I think he can do that. He's one of those guys. He might not be the most exciting guy. He's not going to be the guy you're going to write home about, but he can fight and he can win some of these fights. Richardson Hitchens is a big, big question mark to be answered this weekend.
Right.
I think with a dominant win here, which he does need to dominate, he can't just get by. He can't just squeak by this guy where he's at right now.
He's almost in knockout territory like Shakur is.
Yeah, but he's not the talent level of Shakur. He's also never
already
got
that boring label on him.
Yeah, he's not a world champion yet, and he may never be. So it's important for him to put on, really put on in that fight. I could see him with a win here, especially if it's somewhat impressive, getting the Matias fight right away. And
yeah, it's an IBF eliminator.
And yeah, it makes total sense. Both with match room, so that fight makes a lot of sense. I don't think we're gonna see Progre at a high level ever again. And Ryan, really, I kind of put him at number 10 as a favor just because, you know, he's in this. I don't really know if he can beat a lot of these guys or any of these guys at 140.
He's the wild card. Yeah.
He's a wild card. I think him and Rolly Romero fight is going to be in the near future, which is basically going to be a step up from a YouTube fight.
How about loser goes to Misfits for that fight?
I think loser should just go to YouTube and just stay there.
Yeah, Misfits. Yeah, YouTube boxers. Jose Ramirez is fighting Rancis Bartholomew.
Oh, okay. So it's
where the hell did they find
like
him?
Yeah, it's like the AARP of boxing, that fight,
bro. And Virgil Ortiz is fighting Thomas Delorme. It's the strangest doubleheader ever.
So the Delorme Virgil Ortiz fight, that is because Delorme has always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. Right. That's his role. His role to get starched by Terrence Crawford. To get starched by Jerron Ennis, to get starched by Virgil Ortiz, like that's they're basically just going like, oh, Jerron did this to him, so all right, Virgil, what are you going to do to him?
Serve him up.
Yep.
Yeah, that doubleheader is getting really, really criticized, and I get it. Jose Ramirez has made some questionable moves, turning down title fights.
So that's a Golden Boy card.
Yeah, he's turning down title fights, turning down big time opportunities over the last 18 months. For Virgil, I can somewhat give him a pass because of the health issues. It's just good to see him back. It's good to see him go through another training camp.
I don't hate that fight.
It's a lot more tolerable than Bartholomew versus Jose Ramirez. Like, I give Virgil
never in a good fight. He wasn't in a good fight when he was in his physical prime.
Right, he's in the worst fight of all time, the lowest punched count of all time against Robert Easter.
I was gonna say Robert Easter, yeah.
Robert Easter versus Rancis Bartholomew is one of the worst fights of the last 100 years. Like, they've landed the least amount of punches. I'm like, hey, I'm not even kidding. Like, you could, that's not even an opinion. That's
Dan's like, no, don't laugh. This is accurate. This is.
It's like the barometer. It's the barometer for shit fights. Like, that's the bottom bar, and then it's everything above it because they, you know, I think Progre versus Zaria was better than that one in terms of punches landed.
Well, we just had Omar Juarez on Pro Box card, and he got stopped. And he had a draw with Rancis in, I think, his last fight.
Just I don't know. I like Virgil Ortiz. I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass here. He's also in line to fight for a title at 154 in the very near future. Get him in there, stay healthy, go through a training camp, you know, knock him out, boom, boom, boom. Jose Ramirez, I don't get that. But yeah, that rounds out the 140-pound division. It's the best division in boxing. It's the deepest division. It's got, you know, stars. It's got bit players. It's got great champions. It's got exciting champions, new champions. It's got it all. Love that division. Hopefully,
wait,
they all fight each other.
He did not get stopped. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong fight.
Good. Self-correct, Chris, because the comment section lately has been on our ass.
As you should. You have to be. You should be on our ass. This is their job. I'm sorry. He beat Clarence Booth his last fight. He actually looked really, really good. Actually, never mind. I don't know where that came from. That was a absolute brain fart. But he did fight. He looked really good in that fight, actually. So I take that back, Omar. I'm sorry, brother. You did a great job that night. That was my bad. I'm not sure where that came from. So listeners, make sure we could probably cut that.
No, we're good. Well, it's fine, man. We're flowing, baby. We make mistakes and we correct them. And I'll be in the comment section responding to everyone. There's a lot of love in there, and there's also a lot of people that want to keep us honest. And you know, it's a lot of going on in boxing. It's a lot to keep up with, and we do a pretty damn good job of it. I'm gonna stick up for my co-host here. Let's get into Teofimo Lopez. He's a guy at 140, and he has a new opponent. We weren't able to talk about this on our last episode, but on June 29th, Teofimo Lopez will be fighting Canadian Steve Klagit. I don't know where they found this guy. I don't know where this came from. It's going to be in Miami, Florida. Of course, Teofimo last fought in February versus Jermaine Ortiz, less than stellar performance. Some boo birds came out, and we learned one thing, or we solidified one thing, is that Teofimo needs a come-forward fighter to really shine. Steve Klagit is that. He has won 9 straight fights since losing to fellow Canadian Mathieu Germain in May of 2021. He gets hit more than he lands, Chris. He throws in the high 70s. He's a Canadian brawler that's going to stand in the middle of the ring and take punishment from Teofimo Lopez. I don't know exactly what this does for Teofimo besides give him a little bit of a confidence boost and a knockout, but this is going to be a knockout win for Teofimo.
I mean, is it though? Because apparently with Teofimo, if he doesn't feel threatened, he doesn't really show up. And he is the king of underwhelming plus overwhelming performances. He's either fantastic or he's a dud. So I don't know. Is he going to be up for this to make this fight or, you know, a showcase the way that – listen, there's always those guys, right? There's the guys who do what they're supposed to do with the guys that are in front of them. Mm-hmm. And then there's the guys who kind of struggle, but they can beat the best guys. I was actually like that. I was always good at fighting the best guys, and I was good at fighting the fights that I was supposed to lose. But a lot of times on the way up – I kind of struggled with some of the guys that people were like, "Wow, you should really be smoking this guy." Tio kind of has a bit of that, or has actually definitely has a lot of that. But the Klagit, though, he's been around for a long time. I think he's 34 years old too. He's been on a tear lately. A lot of very well matched opponents. Teofimo is not a well matched opponent for him. Like you said, it's actually the opposite. So he's getting his shot, and yeah, I mean, this looks to be a setup showcase fight for Teofimo Lopez. Let's see if he can pull the trigger and actually do that.
Yeah, he's got a bunch. I think he just re-signed with Top Rank. I think he's locked in for a multi-fight deal with Top
that
Rank. And yeah, this isn't like, you know, his last fight on the deal like it is with Shakur, who we're going to talk about next. Like, I just want to get rid of that notion with Teofimo, and I just don't think it's ever going to go away for his career. It's like he can only get up for the biggest fights. It's, you know, when it's Teofimo Fight Week, that's the main thing we talk about. Is that whole thing he's got going on in his career right now where he has to be threatened and it has to be a big-time fight and he has to create this turmoil in his personal life. That's just not sustainable. You know, we're talking about sustainable things like defense and a jab, which Teofimo has, but the other things of boxing, the mental side of it, which you can argue is just as important as the physical, it's just a strange, strange thing. So I would like to see, for the sake of boxing, Teofimo get in there, put off virtuoso performance, get this guy out of there, and then get into some of these big fights that we were just talking about. Unifications with Matias, unifications with Haney. You know, he's talked about going up to 147 and doing something there. Just giving us the big fights and you know, create those moments then. You know, create those big fights in that environment that you really need, Teofimo.
Yeah, honestly, he doesn't need to be virtuoso for this opponent. He needs to go out there and just get a knockout. It doesn't matter where it comes, how it comes. And honestly, even if he struggles a little bit with this guy, it's probably better for him. It might get him, might be able to make those fights a little easier to get and cheaper for the promoters.
Won't be good for his public image, man, because it's not great right now.
No, it's not. But listen, we said that about Cruz, right? It's what have you done for me lately? You can be in the depths of hell, and then you can be on top of the world. You know, you can be a king in heaven right away with one big win. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for Teofimo in that fight. But, you know, listen, he's got to do what he does. I think he will. I think stylistically, you know, when I'm looking at X's and O's, I don't know how Claggett would really give him any trouble. But if Tio's dialed in, he can beat anybody in the world anytime.
Yeah. So that's June 29th in Miami, where that's a place that Teofimo always wanted to fight. You know, remember he was like, I'm going to fight Kambosos in Miami at the,
we have a venue Orange for that. Bowl.
I don't know. I'm going to that.
That's a short drive for me. I'm going.
Yeah, maybe you'll get on the call. Maybe you'll be on the call for that.
Yeah, true. Possibly.
With the top ranked team. Yeah, so that's the latest with Teofimo. Over to another fighter that really needs a big time performance, or really needs a stoppage. That's Shakur Stevenson. He's fighting Artem Hartyanian on July 6th. Hartyanian, if that sounds familiar to you, he's best known for taking Frank Martin to the limit. Yeah. Last July, it was actually an even fight towards the last round. If Artem had won the final round, he would have got a draw in that fight. Instead, he was knocked down by Frank Martin. Yeah, so I watched the tape on Hartinium. I rewatched that fight with Frank. He's going to stand and trade. He doesn't have huge power. He throws around 50 punches a round, so it's nothing astronomical, but he will be in range for Shakur Stevenson. That's something I saw in the fight with Frank, is that he was willing to stand and trade despite not having a lot of power. This is another case of a top-ranked fighter that needs a knockout. It's another case of a guy that's at a career crossroads, which is insanity. Because he's so damn talented, but he's got to really get a knockout in this fight for Shakur.
I don't see a knockout. I don't see it. Artem, not a puncher, but he's strong. He's strong.
If he doesn't get a knockout, then he's got to do a Shakur Stevenson dominant.
He's going to dominate, and there's going to be opportunity. I think he's going to be able to, especially in the mid to late rounds, really tune Artem up. But Artem is he's strong. He's durable. Listen, Frank Martin. Granted, he's not on the level of Shakur in my eyes, in terms of his technical skill, but he is a very physical guy, and he throws punches. He lets his hands go. He breaks guys down. He's really good at that. He's really physical. He's the kind of guy he wants you to take you to the limit. He basically just met the same kind of guy. Still won the fight. Still absolutely won the fight. It wasn't like it was a robbery or anything, but.
Struggled a little bit.
Struggled, for sure. For sure. You need fights like that. It's early in his career. I mean, he's still a young guy. But Artem, I think he showed a lot in that fight that he can take and he's tough and he's going to drive. You know, if he comes in shape and he comes in with that same kind of effort, I see this going the distance. I think Shakur is going to be able to completely outclass him for sure. And he's going to find a lot of holes in the aggression, and he's going to make him miss a lot wildly. I don't know. I think we see round 12 though.
Okay, if it goes the distance and it's in, Shakur gets another decision win, but during those 12 rounds, during those 36 minutes, I want to see Shakur stand in the middle of the ring. I want to see him trade. I want to see him take risks. I want to see him throw combinations and not really care about what's coming back. He said he's going to turn it all the way up in this fight. I still don't know what that means. We need to see it something different. We need to see a different wrinkle from him offensively, because of the criticism that he's facing, which is just, in my opinion, and the fact that this is his last fight with Top Rank. He's at a career crossroads. He can't just stand in there and move around and, you know, land his 45% power and not get hit. I think he needs to change it up a little bit. Do you agree?
I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I just don't see it.
I know.
I think one of those winging shots from Artem clips Shakur partially on the glove and partially behind his ear. And he goes, this guy's too strong. I'm gonna box his ears off. And he does that. I mean,
he's gonna go back to his instincts, right?
Yeah, of course. It's a personality trait. A lot of times fighters fight as an expression of who they are as a person, what they are inside of them. And I think Shakur is one of those guys. He's like, I'm gonna be smart about this. I don't need to trade with you, bro. It's the only way you can beat me. So I think he's gonna do what he does best. And he's gonna box smart.
All right, that's July 6th in Newark for Shakur Stevenson. Let's talk about some weekend fights. Let's quickly go through this. Not much to choose from. Matchroom has a card in Las Vegas at the Fountain Blue, which I was just at last weekend. Cavernous Hotel, man. I heard they're losing a shit ton of money, bro. It's huge in there, and there's nothing in it. It's bizarre. It reminds me of, remember, the Ocean Resort in AC?
In AC, yeah.
Well, it's now called the Ocean, but before that it was called Revel. I was like, dude, this place is like too big. It's too nice for Atlantic City. And they quickly like went bankrupt. Like, anyway, Fountain Blue is massive. It's really beautiful. But that's where the fights will be this weekend for Matchroom. Richardson Hitchens is the main event. Just talked about him at 140. He's fighting Gustavo Limos, who has been the IBF mandatory for quite a while now. He's an Argentinian, just like you, Chris. He's never left Argentina to fight. He's got his work cut out for him because you can call Richardson Hitchens boring, but man, is he technical, and man, can he control a fight with his jab.
Yeah, super sharp, tall, long for the weight class, uses his size really well. Great gas tank, really slows the pace of the fight, so he doesn't really have to really push that endurance all that much. The real knock on him, for people who are really paying attention, is that there's opportunities for him to go for knockouts and he doesn't. Mm. And he's admittedly said that. You know, I think he said that in the who is the Puerto Rican guy that he fought a couple fights ago?
Not Cepeda.
No, Chon was Mexican. But it's same thing. He said it after the Chon fight too. There was opportunities for him in the late rounds where he could really step on the gas and probably got Chon out of there. And we saw in Chon's next fight, there really wasn't much left of him anyway.
John Bauza?
Bauza, exactly, yeah, Puerto Rican Bauza. In that fight, he dropped the kid twice. He was cracking him with big right hands, but never really stepped on the gas, never really got behind the work that he was building to build on and put some real hurt on the guy. It's not really the kind of style that he is. But you got this Argentinian guy, shorter guy coming up, smaller guy. Obviously, he can punch, so he's going to be putting the pressure. But, man, getting past that jab is not an easy task. So yeah. Let's see if he can press – put enough pressure on Hitchenson to make him uncomfortable and forces him to fight, and then we'll see what he's really got.
Yeah, Limos throws 80 punches around. He's got a motor on him, a lot of body work. Expect that.
He throws 80 punches around when he gets within distance and position.
Exactly. That's one of my favorite things to watch. When I obviously love the stats, when I see a guy that throws 80 and then they're in there with someone with a really good jab, or they're in there with someone with a lot of power, and it plummets to like 40 thrown around. But he got a lot of body shots from Limos. Never fought anyone close to
Hitchens. He's short, right, Limos?
Short guy, yep. And we talk about Hitchens, 50% of his thrown punches are jabs. So, you know, he goes heavy with the jab, and he also lands 8 of them per round. It's a very beautiful style of in and out and the sweet science. It's just, he's gotten to the point where, you know, he was cut by PBC. He's picked up by Matchroom. He's at that point where he's at a title eliminator. If he wins this, he's the mandatory for Richardson Hitchens, for Subriel Matias. So it's like put up or shut up time in terms of entertaining and taking chances, going for knockouts, because those matter. Speaking of knockouts, one guy that we know will get one this weekend, I think at least, is Diego Pacheco, our guy, the best young fighter in boxing, arguably. Fighting another kind of, I wouldn't say walkover, but he is, Sean McCallum. Don't know much about Sean. Do know a lot about Diego Pacheco. I expect another knockout inside of 7 or 8 rounds, and then we can continue to praise Pacheco. But I also want to see Pacheco against a live body. And I want to see him. What do you know about Sean that I don't?
I've called Sean before. Sean okay. can fight.
This is why you're here, Chris.
Sean is smart. Sean is a smart, athletic guy.
So take the over?
What's that?
Take the over then?
What is the over?
Let me look it up. Keep going on Sean.
Sean's good, man. Sean is a smart guy. He's a good athlete. He's big for the weight class. If he can slow the pace for Pacheco, which I'm not saying he can, if he can slow the pace, he can make that fight a little bit interesting and definitely last some rounds. So
I would love to see that. I would love to see Pacheco pushed. I would love to see Pacheco in a little bit of trouble because we haven't really seen that.
I think everyone, all of our listeners know that I'm a huge Diego Pacheco fan. Not only as
7.5 is the over under.
Honestly, I could see it. I could see the over.
Could you see Pacheco by decision?
Plus 300. I would be surprised, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No. So late stoppage.
I think 9, 8, 9 round, 8, 9, 10 rounds.
Oh, Pacheco by stoppage 7-12 plus 160. That's tasty.
Yeah.
I'm playing that. I'm going to put a parlay together and put it on social media. We will have some type of parlay deal soon. I'm putting that into the universe. I'm talking to some sports books right now, you know, making some deals now that I'm out on my own and I'm no longer with John Boy Media. I'm making deals. Scott Nicholson is in action against Sarah Mafood.
Mafood. Yeah, she's been with everybody.
Yeah, she. That's the thing with this, the women's boxing is if your name and you're reputable and you can fight, you're going to get a lot of opportunities. For Sky, it's a world title fight. She's fighting for the vacant title that Amanda Serrano gave up, the WBC belt. Nicholson has been calling out Serrano left and right. She thinks she could beat Amanda Serrano. You got to have that mentality if you're a fighter. I say it, all you fighters are delusional a little bit. You have to be delusional, right?
Definitely. Absolutely have to be that way. But also, I mean, with Serrano, man, she's getting older every day. She's
getting older and she's coming.
She's not knocking people out anymore. She's
I think Serrano Nicholson is a fun, marketable fight. I know that Serrano's team isn't really entertaining it. You know, I work pretty closely with them at MVP. And you know, they're kind of looking for the biggest of the big, right? They're filling up stadiums in Puerto Rico. Obviously, she didn't fight in that fight because of the eye injury. They're looking at, you know, Chantel Cameron, they're looking at a rematch with Katie Taylor. They're looking at maybe Alicia Bumgardner, who I saw at the top ranked gym, who's been cleared of all of her problems. But you know, Nicholson's a name. I mean, she's all over social media. I mean, we know why. And she's winning fights. Doesn't have the greatest and most fan-pleasing style. I think she would lose to Serrano.
That's an overstatement, bud.
I get that. But like Serrano, I think Serrano, Sky Nicholson is like there's not a lot of huge fights in women's boxing. It's a very serviceable fight, and it makes sense. And I think people would watch that.
Yeah, for sure. And the buildup would be the biggest part of that whole fight. But I don't know.
Serrano's Eddie versus Jake again.
Serrano's been making money lately. I don't know.
Bro, she's printing money, bro. I was out in Puerto Rico last month for her fight. I mean, she's a freaking hero there. She's up there with some
as of she the, should be.
I
as
get that. Absolutely. She's up there with like the legends of boxing. And I mean, she's up there with some of the legends athletes. You know, like, you know, not up there, obviously, Roberto Clemente, but, you know, some of the historic Puerto Rican professional athletes, she's in that discussion. And that's the type of way that she's been thinking and type of way she's been moving. I wouldn't be shocked to see her on that Mike Tyson, Jake Paul undercard on July 20th, especially as she got cleared because of her eye with that whole fiasco, which was one of the most bizarre and saddest things I have ever experienced. Yeah,
well, you saw it firsthand. So
it was nuts, man. I was on the call and I was like, you know, we're texting with the truck. And, you know, they're trying to figure out the fight's going to happen. And, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be a freaking riot. And I'm like, yo, I'm getting my shit and running out of here. But luckily, they announced that refund. But yeah, that's the weekend of fights. It's not the biggest fight weekend. I will tune in occasionally in between watching my Yanks, who are 6-1.
Whoa.
Dude, the Yanks are hot. Yo, Chris, the Yanks are back. The Yanks, we're going to the Yankee game this summer.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We'll get Ronnie. Remember our friend Ronnie?
Live episode?
If we get noticed at Yankee Stadium for our podcast, that would be the highlight of my life. Because I did get noticed at Yankee Stadium last year because of my John Boy warehouse stuff. And I was with my brother, and a couple guys asked me for a selfie. And I was like, yeah, I got you, bro. Took a selfie. And my brother was like, wait a second. He's like, is that a fucking thing now? He's like, I'm not going out with you if you're taking selfies.
Dude, you actually just did a really good impression to your brother.
Yeah, he was like, no. He's like, your head is already big enough. I'm not doing this. Like, this ain't going to be a thing. But yes,
listeners, Dan's head's bigger than mine, for the record. For the record.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
No way.
We're in public? Forget it, man.
Ego off. You win.
Soaks it up. Soaks it up, this guy.
Hey, listen, man. I'm not a former pro champion. I'm not a guy that was on CSI, whatever all your accolades, playing a dead person on CSI, whatever you did during your
party. I played Johnny Amato.
We got to pull that up.
It's good, man.
I remember seeing that. Like, I wasn't like as close as we are now. We didn't do a show, but like we were friends, like through boxing. And I was like, I remember you posted it on something. I'm like, this motherfucker is on CSI. I was like, tell me he's gonna be an actor now, which I could totally see. I was like, who does this guy think he is, playing a dead man?
I missed my opportunity. I should have cut out early and just went the acting
right. You should. But now we're doing talking boxing twice a week for
this is actually way better. This is a lot more fun.
Yeah, Hollywood's weird. Ryan Garcia says Hollywood's weird. I kind of I see where he's coming from.
Listen, he says some crazy things, but I think he's probably spot on about some of that stuff.
Oh, boy. What a world we're living in. Thank you, everyone, for joining this episode. Enjoying doing these 2 weeks. We'll be back on Monday, maybe. Yes, we will be back Monday. Wrapping up the weekend, talking about whatever. Who knows at this point. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. If you have Yankee tickets for me and Chris, send us a DM.